Okay, good morning, everybody. Good afternoon. So I know it's challenging to sit here with your phone. So one of the ideas that I've started with the shmooze the last number of years, I really got the idea from Reverend Stamen, what he used to do in his year. But if you turn in your phone, you can take two candies from the table.
You leave the phone
on the table.
Yeah,
then you take three candies. Okay, raise your hand if you've ever heard of a person named Jim Goodnight. Anybody here know who Jim Goodnight is? Okay, Jim Goodnight, besides having a great last name, is number 50 or so on the wealthiest people in America. Jim Goodnight is the CEO of the SAS software company Cary, North Carolina. He's worth about $12.5 billion as of these days, according to Bloomberg's website. It happens to be, I have this news from years ago, he used to only be worth like 7.6, now he's worth 12.5. So, if anybody ever studies business, one of the most important classes that they give is employee satisfaction. And one of the companies that always is at the top of the list of the best places to work is the SAS software company. I just want to read to you a few highlights about the company, tell you a little story about two employees over there, and try to apply it to our lives. Listen to this. They get a nice paycheck, of course. All of the 13,700 employees have a private office. They have a medical staff, doctors, and nurses all on site. Free flu shots, on-site pharmacy, on-site hair salon, nail salon, shoe repair, jewelry repair, dry cleaning, a no-fee ATM, tax preparation. They have a personal package shipped there. You never have to go to the post office. You can do your grocery shopping there. A farmer's market truck brings fresh produce, eggs, meats, and flowers weekly. Sports, fun. Listen to this. You get a personal trainer, aerobics classes, indoor Olympic-sized swimming pool, both competitive and non-competitive recreational leagues for frisbee, golf, soccer, kickball, volleyball, basketball, and billiards. It looks like a country club, and there actually is a country club across the street. And the country club across the street happens to be owned by Mr. Goodnight. And for a regular person off the street, it's $30,000 annual membership. But if you're an SAS employee, it's only $3,000. Okay, so it's super enjoyable and fun. Food-wise, they have a kids' diner because a lot of the kids go to daycare on site as well. There's four fancy cafes. It's all subsidized, all delicious food. A Starbucks, three free breakfast every Friday, fresh fruit delivered to all break rooms on Mondays, free snack and drink stations on every floor. As you can imagine, it's voted almost every year one of the best places to work. But it's deeper than that. The SAS culture keeps employees content and keeps them from leaving. On average, software companies turn over more than 20% of their employees each year. At SAS, it's around 3%. Everybody likes to say, wherever you are in life, you have responsibilities. It's all about trust. Mr. Goodnight believes in the culture of trust. They make sure that worker sentiment is at the top, at the optimum level. They engage the Great Place to Work Institute to independently evaluate the standing of its entire leadership team every year, which means they're always making sure that that their employees are satisfied. Let me read to you a few more quotes, and we'll get to the main point. While we say we have a 35-hour work week, I don't know anybody who really works 35 hours. The reality is if you trust people and you ask them to do something and you treat them like a human being as opposed to a commodity where you try to squeeze something out, they're going to work all sorts of hours. But they're going to enjoy those hours as opposed to slaving in their office. Listen to the next few lines. To earn a spot anywhere in management at SAS, you must first demonstrate a natural inclination to support and help people. The primary responsibility of its leaders is to facilitate the career success of other employees, not their own. Consistently, managers who display the greatest advocacy for others get rewarded with better and better assignments. The more you care about other people in your company, the more you advance their careers, the more your career can advance. Sounds like anybody who runs away from kavod, right? The kavod runs after him. The first time Goodnight programmed the computer as a college junior in the 70s at North Carolina State University, he found profound joy in the accomplishment. He knew he was developing software that other people would use and benefit from, and it gave him a terrific feeling, right? Very in tune to his feelings. In that moment, Goodnight intuited that everyone thrives on doing significant things and from knowing their work and inherent value. And ever since, he's seen it as his role to ensure his employees take great pride of ownership in all of the work that they do, knowing what they produce will be used all over the world by people all over the world. Okay? So he understands to make his employees feel as if they're fulfilling some great role and helping the world and feeling good about themselves and their accomplishments. Securing feelings of fulfillment and meaning through one's work has become one of the most important ambitions of people in the 21st century. And SAS goes to great lengths to ensure employees understand how to make a difference. And to make the long story short, he cares about his employees and he takes care about his employees. And we know that happy employees make a great company. That's the idea. In 1990, the top two programmers graduating from the University of North Carolina, two Tar Heels, they were number one and number two. They were basically both number one. They were the top programmers, and they were both recruited by the SAS company. One's name is Jeff Callahan, and one was named Brian O'Connor. Now, Jeff Callahan, from the first day he came to the office, he came to work on time. He did his work well. He was diligent. He finished before his deadlines. He was nice to the people around him. He was a good word for everybody, and he also tried to enhance the careers of the people around him. He was invited to executive parties because they saw that he had a lot of potential and he was really doing his job well, being very responsible. He had a positive relationship with his fellow employees. He developed a great relationship with the CEO. And Jeff Callahan, from 1990 until now in 2020, every year he gets promoted and he advances his career and he enjoys the basketball. He plays a good golf game. He enjoys all the amenities, all the great things at SAS. But unfortunately, his peer, who graduated neck and neck with him in terms of what number they were in programming in their major in UNC, he didn't have the same path as Jeff. Brian O'Connor, he came late. He didn't take it seriously. He just couldn't hold back from all the great pleasures they had at SAS. He enjoyed the food, the sports, just the environment, the golf, and he overindulged. And over time, after a few years, he was basically asked to leave because his work wasn't as good as it was expected. And then they noticed, they don't do this on purpose. They don't track everybody's spending habits and their hours around the campus unless they need to. But it was clear that he was totally overindulging. And after a number of years, he was let go. So that's the end of the mashal. That's the end of the story. Now we'll get to the nimshal. What you see here is as many articles described SAS. It's like heaven on earth. It means that your gashmius, your needs are taken care of. But everybody sitting here in this room would say, you know what, Jeff Callahan, the guy who came out of school, who did everything right, he didn't lose out. He worked diligently. He worked the way a loyal and dedicated employee should. And he enjoyed himself. When we look at a guy like Brian O'Connor, and we look at ourselves and we say, what a fool. He had the same enjoyable life as Jeff Callahan. He had the same potential. He was mamish on the same level in programming. But what did he do? He just couldn't get it together, and he couldn't pry himself away from all the pulling, all of his attraction to all the enjoyable things that it had in SAS. And I think that everybody in this room would say, what a fool. Brian was such a fool. Jeff, he's so smart. How could it be? How could somebody do that? And Jeff, his life just, you know, I don't even know where Jeff is today. But it sounds like a very normal and appropriate and the right mahalach that Jeff had. And the reality is, as clear as that description is lahavdil elof alfei havdolos, the kind of decisions, life decisions that we all have. Here we are, lahavdil elof alfei havdolos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He sustains us, al kol rega v'rega, every single moment. He takes care of us. And he has one request. We should be like Moshe Rabbeinu. What is the most powerful description of Moshe Rabbeinu? Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is an Eved Hashem. And just like we say to Brian, wow, what did you do with your life? You obviously were not a dedicated employee. And Jeff, you're such a dedicated employee, and we see how worth it was. We have to ask ourselves a similar question. Are we the greatest Oved Hashem that we could be? Are we the most dedicated servants? Are we the most dedicated soldiers in Hashem's army that we could be? And you know what? Sometimes it's clear, sometimes not so clear. But Lamaisa, we know that when we do the Ratzon Hashem, when we do the right thing, we enjoy all of the amenities. We enjoy all the Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. As the Mishnah of us tells us, Ashrecha be'Olam Hazeh, Ashrecha be'Olam Haba. And of course, in the story, Jeff Callahan, he's going to retire and he's going to, you know, go into the sunset. You know, we hope he has good health and so on and so forth. But Lamaisa, it's not just about the company. And of course, in the Nimshal, besides the enjoyment of this world, it's, right? I was just listening to a song on the way here, right? This world is just a corridor. It's just a hallway. And we're still allowed to enjoy it when we do the Ratzon Hashem, of course. But the ultimate, not only do we enjoy this world where we do the right things, the real, right? Shetikunis the Traklin. The Ikar is, we go to the Traklin. Now, over the years, I've highlighted 20 areas of our lives, starting from our time in yeshiva, which highlight what does it mean to be a Jeff, what does it mean to be a Brian, what does it mean to be an Eved Hashem, a Ben Torah, and what does it mean to not be. I'd like to share these 20 ideas, 20 stages in life, which I hope, you know, make an impression on you right now, and keep it in mind. Number one, Shachris in yeshiva. A guy like Jeff, the Eved Hashem, of course, he sets his alarm, and he hears his alarm, and he wakes up, and he goes to Shachris at a normal time. Again, obviously, waking up has a lot to do with what time you go to sleep. But a guy like Brian, what does he say? Oh, my madrich didn't wake me up. Right? He's not capable. Right? If he had a business meeting, if he had something important to go to, if he had a football game, he wouldn't wake up. He needed the madrich to wake him up. Number two, Jeff comes to Seder and Shir on time. He even goes to 6:10. Right, of course, Brian, he doesn't come exactly on time. In the middle, just when the Rebbe is about to say the punchline of the sugya, he needs to go to the men's room. Perhaps he skips, you know, other parts of the day to go to play basketball. Number three, summer plans. Right, what are his summer plans? Unfortunately, I was talking to somebody, I don't want to say how recently, but somebody told me that his summer plans, he did nothing all day, and it was the worst summer ever. So, I want to indulge, I want to enjoy, I want to hang out with the boys. Or am I going to go be a counselor somewhere, try to positively influence some campers, go to a camp of chesed? There's so many opportunities to do chesed, so many opportunities to have healthy fun in the summer, a kollel, and so on and so forth. What is our perspective with our summer plans? Are we just out to have a good time? Shana bet? A guy like Jeff says, oh, shana bet, I have more opportunities to grow, to build on the foundation of life in an environment that's kulo Torah in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not saying I'm not going to college in the future. Eventually I will, but if I can grab another year of totally focused on growing as a Ben Torah. And a guy like Brian says, who needs it? Who needs Shana Bet? I'm not going to be a Rebbe. I'm not going to learn my whole life. So I'm not going to learn my whole life. Why do I need to spend another year focused on learning? Number five, let's just say this person goes to IU, where of course you have a dual curriculum. But a guy like Brian doesn't necessarily go to Minyan. He's focusing almost exclusively on his secular studies. Does he wash? Does he bench? However, a guy like Jeff, the more serious one, right? Minyan is chok v'lo yavar, is a red line. Seder, having the morning, he's just as serious about his morning. He's not more serious about his morning than his afternoon. Because why? As much as he wants a good job, as much as he wants to do well in school, he understands that long term, in this world and the next, morning Seder in YU, the Lumina Kodesh, matters much more. Number six is his how he relates to girls. This is his relationship and his girls is when he wants to get married, he'll find the right girl. Or is it, let's enjoy each other's company, let's have platonic relationships, which is a tremendous distraction, has a lot of elements of Isser involved. Or no, he knows what's the point. Right now I'm focusing on learning and growing as Ben Torah. I also want a career. I want to get married. So when it's time to get married, I'll mingle. I'll ask around. I'll find the right girl. Who do they marry? A guy like Jeff is looking to marry a girl who's involved in davening, doing chesed, who's tsanua, who's growth-oriented. And a guy like Jeff, perhaps, those aren't the most important qualities. He's looking for a girl who likes to have fun, who's not necessarily modest. Oh, Jeff, mixed with Jeff. Right, Brian, very good. Thank you very much. Brian is somebody who's looking for somebody who's not necessarily so modest, who's not necessarily as growth-oriented. But of course, Jeff, and again, this is an important yesod. What are we looking for in a spouse? Are we looking for somebody to grow with and to serve a Kodesh Baruch with and to build a house of Torah mitzvos? Are we the Brian who that, or are we like Brian who's looking to have fun, etc.? Now, after you get married, your Shabbos table. What's your Shabbos table like? Is it filled with the Torah Zmiros, the same type of table that you remember from your days in yeshiva? Unfortunately, this year I can't say as much as, you know, being at your Bame's homes, because unfortunately I haven't been there that much because of the reality of this year. But I've heard that the Shabbosim here in yeshiva have been great, the Torah and singing and so on. You've had it, you've experienced it. Bring it to your homes. Bring it to your homes. Not only the homes of your parents, of course, right now, but your homes long term, the homes that you're going to build. Or is your Shabbos table replete with politics, sports, Lashon Hara? And how do we dress on Shabbos? We all know, right? Some people dress the way you're supposed to dress on Shabbos, some people not as much. I once heard a beautiful idea from one of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU. I didn't hear it personally. He said, a person should dress on Shabbos the way they would to go to a wedding. And sometimes, we don't necessarily do that, but that's a very good yardstick to figure out what's appropriate to wear on Shabbos. What's your connection to Shul on Shabbos? Do you come late? Do you booze up at the Kiddush Club? Is that your connection to Shabbos? Going to Shul on Shabbos? Or no. Or you go to Shul on Shabbos to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to daven like a mensch, to be an active participant in the tefillah. Number 10, what's our knowledge and our connection to Hilchas Shabbos? We learn Yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, we learn Psachim. It happens to be Hilchas Shabbos does come up a number of times, Shirfas Chometz and Shabbos, Losavar Eish, Bechomos Vosechem, etc. But Hilchas Shabbos, you know, unfortunately, some of us grow up thinking the only two things, right, you can't do on Shabbos is drive a car and turn on the light. But we know, Baruch Hashem, you come to Yeshiva, right? You come to Yeshiva, you realize Hilchas Shabbos is a lot more extensive than that. And do we say, Borer, right? If you take, right, if you have your, let's say your, again, you have your peanuts and your raisins in the same thing, which I used to have, I'm just like going back to my olden days when I was younger, I think they used to have that, yeah, kedushim, right? You have your raisins and peanuts mixed into the, in a bowl, and you don't like raisins, you take the raisins out, that's like turning on the light, mamish, and it's as clear as day. Did you learn the Hilchas Shabbos? Do you apply the Hilchas Shabbos? Number 11, minyan three times a day. Right, we know, I'm sure we're familiar with people from our community. Again, there are some people that work in a very far-flung place, and obviously in the winter it's challenging to get to a minyan. But in the metropolitan area, whether you work in the city or you work in the suburbs, it's not that hard to find a mincha minyan. Shachris in the morning, yes, people work, but there are a lot of options for Shachris in the morning. Again, I was brought from Zolcha to grow up in a house where my father went, you know, at five, you know, five, he opened the door at the 5:45 minyan. So, but again, you don't have to wake up at 5:30 in the morning or 5 o'clock to go to the 5:45 minyan. There are other minyanim, but are you the type of person that long term in life, and now is the time to think about these things. Are you going to be the kind of person that goes to minyan three times a day, no matter what? Or not? Daf Yomi. We can all probably think about the balabatim, the middle-aged people in our communities. You see somebody who's on fire with Torah. Somebody who's involved in Daf Yomi. He's involved in Limud HaTorah. Here you are, you're getting the taste of Gemara. How enjoyable is the Caleb Challenge? How enjoyable is it to know some Gemara? So when you go on in life, if you're connected to Torah, right, the Gemara tells us in which means Torah learning would cease to exist, the world would cease to exist. This is our life. Torah is a life support. If we grab onto the Torah, when we go out to the world, again, halavai, some of us will be in Klei Kodesh, be involved in Limud HaTorah, either learning, teaching, whatever. But many of us will go out to the business world. How connected are we to the Torah? Are we going to be like a Jeff, who's an Eved Hashem, who's working for the big boss, with the capital B? Or are we going to be like Brian, who's, he's slacking off, and it's so clear to us that what he's doing is worthless and silly. See how much time I have. Oh, 3 minutes. Okay. We'll try to do it fast. Chesed! How involved are you and your family involved in Chesed? There's so many opportunities. Unfortunately, so many difficult people go through difficulties. Be attuned to the needs of the people around you. Tzedakah. There's some people, right? You get knocks at the door all the time. First of all, you're just learning kids in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Lama Dalet, how terrible it is to say a bad word or to be disrespectful, to be not nice. When someone comes to your door, say Shalom Aleichem. And if you don't have any money to speak to him nicely, I happened to have been brought up in a home where somebody came to the door, he asked them if they wanted a drink. And also, it brings down over there, to raise money, to help, to get other people to raise money. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in this room, Baruch Hashem in the yeshiva, Shekel HaShabbos, and so on. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Or we say, oh, tzedakah, another schnorr. Football. Are you the kind of guy, right, that has to watch an NFL game day at 12:30 with Chris Berman, Mike Tirico, and the Chevra, right? Okay, I don't know if they're still on, but I think I've heard from Jonathan Labs, they're still involved. You need to know probably from 12, you can watch football from 12:30, if I'm not mistaken, NFL game day. Who's probable, who's questionable, who's maybe, all those kinds of things. Who cares, right? Again, I'm saying, Tifa Lomdus, like, what's going to happen? Just if you're really so obsessed with the game, okay, so watch the game. But like, from what I understand, you can spend 72 hours a week. So I think I have it written down. Somebody said you spend 72 hours a week on fantasy. I understand it, but even a guy like Jeff, okay, if you have your team, so watch your team's highlights or whatever. Maybe if you have to watch the fourth quarter, I understand. But to watch fantasy and regular and red zone, just realize, when I was growing up, there was no red zone, there was no fantasy. So what happened? People were excited. People were stimulated just from watching their team and going home and whatever it was, 3 hours. But obviously, people are so needy of stimulation that they created fantasy. They created red zone. Why? Because they just want to grab you. Because it wasn't enough to just have your one team and watch for 3 hours. The chinuch of your children. What are we aiming for? How often do we sing this thing? Is zakeni legadol? Right? Miras ha'olam, b'mayim tovim. Right? What's our goal for our children? Is our goal for our children to be B'nai Torah? I know, you guys, Shana Alef, Shana Bet, you have to think now about the goals for your children, but ultimately, these are the decisions. This is the time to make these decisions and start, figuring out a direction in life. How we speak? Do we have filtered internet? Right? Who are role models? Who are we trying to idolize? Who do we read about? Do we read about the Gedolei Yisrael of yesteryear, of nowadays, who are Mali Torah and Midos, B'chule, or are we obsessed with perhaps celebrities and so on? Foul language. How do we clean mouth? It's brought down by many, many, many. If you want your tefillos to be powerful, you should have a clean mouth. Both, foul language, Lashon Hara, etc. 18, which unfortunately I have to discuss, about being faithful to one's spouse. Are we going to be like a Jeff, where nobody ever have a havamim, there's no shaykhus, no discussion that there's any relationship, any connection to other women? Or chas v'shalom like a Brian, who there are rumors about, who people are concerned about. Number 19, family vacation. It speaks a lot about a family, about the family that you're living, that you're leading. Right? Plenty of people come to Eretz Yisrael for family vacation, and they enjoy it, they have a good time. But they're coming to Eretz Yisrael. But other families, Rahman al-Sultan, what's their family vacation? What's their break? If they go to Aruba, right? And you can, figure out all the types of places like Aruba. What are we yearning for? What kind of message are we sending to our children and to our family? How are we leading our family if our family vacation is going to Aruba? And number 20, with the 1 minute overtime. And this is the clincher. And this is all I would say maybe a little bit more, but this is all. These are all the direction that you take today has to do with this. Number 20 is: will you let your child, your own child, come back Shana Bet? Have a great day and keep these points in mind. Keep on studying and growing.